Amen, amen. Oh God, we thank you for your presence. Wow. Just to be in this place to worship you with this group of people, to call upon the name of the Lord, to call upon the name that is above every name. God, we just worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray just for your presence to continue to pour out. Spirit would just move in our midst and in our lives, oh God, that you alone deserve all glory. And I know there are people here this morning who are just heavy with some things that they're going through, whether it be health, financial, relationship, whatever it is, God, you are above all things and you can work in all things. And we pray for a mighty move of your presence and power to speak into each person's life today in a way that they've never experienced before, and that they would leave this place totally changed and transformed by the power of God. And we just look for you to do great things. And as we open up your word this morning, may your word come alive to us, may it speak to us, may it challenge us, and may we walk in obedience to what you're calling us to do. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Before you are seated, would you please scoot in a little bit? We need to fill in some seats here, so if you don't mind scooting in. And you can be seated. Man, we want to dismiss our Club 56. That's our fifth and sixth graders. So if you're in fifth and sixth grade, you can go out to your class. The rest of you have no class. Yeah, that's my dad joke for today. Don't worry, there's more coming. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 2 today. This going forward in January, we're going to be doing a series through the book of Galatians, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be kick you in the butt awesome. And so that is my late Christmas gift going to be given to you, a kick in the butt awesome series through the book of Galatians. I said series, and Siri on my iPad is saying yes. All right, before we get into Galatians, starting tomorrow, we as a church are encouraging everyone here to be a part of a 21-day fasting and prayer that we're starting tomorrow. And we chose the first part of September because it's the start of the fall season, school season. It's kind of that away from summer break and into something new. And we want to bathe that, saturate that beginning in fasting and prayer. We believe in fasting and prayer. We believe that God moves in an incredible way when we decide that we are going to fast and pray. Fasting is more than just missing a meal, because you can miss a meal and the doctor says, well, you fasted that meal. Spiritually speaking, that's just missing a meal. You have to replace it with a time of a prayer and in time with God's word. So when you set out to fast and pray, you're saying, okay, this time that I normally eat lunch or I normally eat dinner or whatever, instead of going and doing that, I'm going to spend time in the Word of God and praying to God. And you can fast for a lot of different things for the new school, if you're a student, for the new school year, job, maybe your health, relationships. There's a lot of things that we all face. And there's something that happens within us that changes us when we fast and pray. And we see in Scripture that there's all types of fast and prayers. There's group fast and prayer like we're doing as a church, but there's individual fasting and praying. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you fast, it wasn't an option. It was this idea that you're going to fast. And when we do that, I'm telling you, it's hard. I don't like fasting because I like food, but it's hard, but it's also special. And the first 2 days, if you're going a long period, first 2 days are the most difficult. By the day three, it frees you up. And then you're like, I don't know if I really want to stop, because there's this communion you have with God through fasting and prayer. There's different types of fasts that you can do. There's obviously the food fast is what we see in Scripture most often is a food where you abstain from food for a period of time. You say, I desire God more than I desire. And the reason why we do food is because we need food to live on. We need it to live. And so you're saying, I'm giving up this for something better. We see also a partial fast, like a Daniel fast. It's more of a health, giving up certain types of food that we see in Scripture. And then it's become more popular these days to do like a social media fast. Have you ever heard of a social media fast where you say, I'm gonna give up social media, I'm giving up my phone or whatever? That's great to do that, but make sure if you're going to do that, when you normally scroll and zone out on social media, you spend that time in prayer. You spend that time in God's Word. Don't just say, oh, I'm giving up social media. I'll give you a little sticker we give the kids in kids' church with that, you know. But spend the time in prayer, you know, and that you're seeking God during this time. And we just believe that God is going to move in our heart and in our church through this next 21 days. And I would say this, make a plan. If you just go into it and not thinking about it, you're not going to do it. So have a plan. Say, I'm going to do these days, or I'm going to do this meal, or I'm going to do that. And over the next 3 weeks in September, we're going to be talking about the importance of fasting and prayer. So it's a three-week focus. We're going to be talking about why we fast and pray, what God does. We're going to hear some testimonies of answered prayer, and it's going to be an exciting time that's going to take place. Now, we as a church have a theme for the year. Can anybody tell me what our theme is? In Christ. All right. At least, you know, it only took to September. So it comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you should have this memorized because we say it almost every week. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So this idea is that if I've given my life to Jesus, now I'm in Christ. My old life is gone. It's passed away, and now I'm in this new walk, this new relationship with Christ, and I'm endeavoring to live that out, what that means. I'm not back to the old way. I'm walking in this new creation that Christ has done and wants me to walk in. Here's the problem that I think a lot of us face, especially if we've been around church a while or been around religion a while. Doesn't matter if you've been to this church or any church. What we tend to do is we put pressure on ourselves to live a certain way, to do certain things, and to behave a certain way because, well, after all, I'm a Christian. I have to do these things. And so let me ask you if any of these things resonate with you or you thought of these in your life. You know you're supposed to go to church, but sometimes it's hard getting here or you feel like I just rather. If they had a food truck after church every Sunday, it wouldn't be as difficult, right? Or you know you're supposed to read the Bible, but when you open it, you're just like, I don't know where to start. And when I read, I'm confused, and I don't know how this applies to my life. But I know I'm supposed to read it. I know I'm supposed to pray, but oftentimes when I pray, my mind wanders, and I begin to think on other things, and I'm not even focusing on what I'm saying. I know this is my prayer time, but I'm thinking about how are the Broncos going to do this season? Can they beat the Chiefs, you know? Or, man, didn't the Aggies do great last night? You know, and so that's just, I'm a sports thing, so my mind goes that way. But whatever, oh, I got that project I have to do. I have these things that I have to get done. Or what about this? What about, in your mind, you get lost in your prayer. You know you're supposed to give financially, but sometimes you feel guilty that you're not giving enough, or you feel like, I'm not really compelled to do it. I know I have to. You know you're supposed to have victory over sin, but you still struggle with the sin, the same sin, over and over again. You know you're not supposed to be worried or anxious, but boy, you feel anxious all the time. And you worry about a number of different things. You know you're supposed to share the gospel with people, but you don't know what to say. And sometimes you may feel like you're going to come across as that crazy guy with the bullhorn, and you're just going to say, repent or die, you know, and you don't want to be that guy. And so, and a lot of us feel like, you know that God loves us, but man, you feel like you're letting him down. And you feel like there's got to be more that I'm supposed to do. I don't know if any of those things resonate with you or not, and you feel like this religion has come upon you, and now the church is saying, hey, let's do a fast and pray for 21 days, and you're like, great. Another thing I have to do, and I'm just going to walk out of it feeling disappointed, feeling guilty, feeling like I didn't do enough, or whatever, and it's just another pressure on you. And so one of the things that I want us to see today is we don't need to live that way. We don't need to live in guilt or shame, but we can live in freedom of what it really means to be in Christ. And so I believe in Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, Paul lays out a secret to what it means to live in Christ. And let's look at it. Verse 15, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. In verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what Paul is doing here, Paul's writing this to a church in Galatia, and the primary audience of these people, the people in this church, were Jewish people. And they were now converts to Christianity, but they were going back to the old system of, man, I got to follow these commandments. I got to do the law to be justified. That word justified appears like 3 or 4 times here in this passage of Scripture. And we need to understand what that means. Justified or justification means I'm now in right standings with the Holy God. So justified is, if you simplest terms, is just as if not sin. You see, God is holy. He is right, he is just, he is pure. All of us, the Bible says, are sinners. Every single one of us. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so to be in the presence of God, to be right with God, I have to be justified. I have to be made right with God. And so what we tend to do is the list that I just said. Oh, I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to fast. I got to go to church. I got to do all these things to be made right before a holy God. And the thing is we will never be made right before a holy God by doing our own things. So number one in your notes, if you're taking notes, is you got to remember what Christ did for you. Remember what Christ did for you. We are not justified by our works or by the works of the law. And so here's what we tend to do. when we receive Christ or walking in a relationship with Christ, we feel one of several different ways, but I'm going to just name three. We feel guilty because we're not doing enough. I got to do more because there's this guilt within us. We're guilted into reading the Bible, guilted into coming to church, guilted into giving, guilted into whatever. Listen, we are not justified by what we do. We are justified by what Jesus has done. Justification does not happen, and being guilty, feeling guilty on it, justification just doesn't happen by you doing more work and feeling guilty that you're not doing enough. So we walk in a guilt of, I have to do more. The second thing is what we tend to do is we feel like we have to pay God back. Okay, I know salvation is a free gift. I know I received this free gift, but I have to earn this. I got to prove that I was worthy of him saving me. So I've even heard pastors and teachers say this. It says, Jesus died for you. At least you could do this for him. You ever heard that or felt that? Oh, he did that. Well, you know, at least I could do is this. And so we feel like I have to pay Jesus back. Listen, Jesus is not a businessman trying to cut a deal with you. So if you're trying to pay him back, it's not grace. Grace is a free gift to you. You receive it. And then the third thing is like we feel like, oh, I've been given a second chance, and I got to make best of my second chance. Oh, I messed that up. Well, I got another chance. Listen, it's not about different chances. Because if you get up to, if you're using a baseball analogy, if you get up and you're facing, you know, who's Nolan Ryan, right? One of the greatest pitchers of all time, right? I said it and people are like, I don't know. So, and he's throwing a 98 mile per hour fastball and you're just sitting there with a bat. You're going to swing and miss, right? You're going to swing and miss. And so I just need another chance. Guess who's still up to bat? You are, right? So it's not about second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. You're still the person in it. So it's not about guilt. It's not about paying back. And it's not about second and third chances. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to make you new. He didn't die to make you better. He died to make you new. So what does that look like? What does that mean? It means this, that we are all sinners. We are all separated from God by sin. We're born with sin. We sin. We all sin. We all make mistakes, every single one of us. And so we fall short of this holy God. And so we can try to do better. We try to do better, read the Bible, do all these things. And we're trying to earn our way up to be made right before God. But we keep falling. We keep messing up. And so because God is holy and we're not, there's this separation from us. And so what God did is he sent his son Jesus into this world and lived a perfect life, lived a sinless life. And he went to the cross for our sins. See, sin, ultimate goal, ultimate desire, ultimate purpose is to bring death to you. That's sin's desire. And so Jesus on the cross took the fullness of the wrath of God upon himself. He took God's wrath, all your sin, my sin, upon himself. And he declared, it is finished. And he died in that sin. And he was dead and he was buried. And then he went to the grave and he defeated sin's power. And he defeated death and he rose again from the grave by declaring, now I have power over sin. I have power over death. And whoever calls upon me, whoever puts their faith in me, who trusts in me, is given life and they are justified. And you are clothed, you are wrapped around the righteousness of Christ. So when God sees you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ that you are wrapped in and you're clothed in. And so that you, when you're feeling like, man, I just got to do enough. I feel guilty. I feel like second chance. I feel all this. Stop it. You're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Remember what he has did. Don't add to what he did. He did enough. He saved you and called you by name. And so you're not living in that guilt. You're not living in shame. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so walk in the freedom that you have in Christ. And then second, so first was what Christ did. Second, rest in what Christ is doing in you. So, verse 20, great verse. One of the most powerful verses in all of the Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ lives within me. Grab a hold of that. Jesus Christ lives within me. If you called upon his name, Christ now lives within you. So how are we to live? How is that played out? So in 1993, I was dating Bev. 92, 93, I was dating Bev. And we've been dating for about 10, 11 months. And we met at school in California, and then school was over. So I came home to Utah, and she was in Sacramento. And you know that old adage, absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know that whole thing? I was like, I can't live without this girl, you know? And so she was in California. So I went to a store to buy a ring. I was going to ask her to marry. So junior hires, if there's junior, fifth and sixth grade, start saving now. It'll cost you, you know. I'm just saying, start saving now. Like, don't wait till your college. Start in junior high. I'm just saying. Put away that, you know, go without a meal once a week and put that lunch money right there. So, anyway, so I got this ring, and I'm, you know, I got, this is the most, you know, at that age, it was the most expensive thing I've ever bought. You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, this is valuable, this is precious. And so I know I was going to fly out to Sacramento to meet her, and then we were going to go down to the beach, and then I was going to do this whole romantic thing, because I'm a romantic person. Just, if not, I'll just tell you, I am romantic. I was, anyway. And so something strange happened within me when I knew I had a ring in my pocket. I was walking around like this, you know, checking all the time, you know, yeah, it's still there. You know, before all the TSA security thing, I'm walking there, anybody could go into, you know, and so I'm like, I'm in the airport. I'm like, I know today's the day I'm going to get mugged. I know this is it. This is it. So I'm like, you know, I'm watching people, you know, my demeanor, everything about me changed because of what I held within me. There's something that was so valuable within me. And so I'm always checking, you know, and I get to her house and I put it in the same place. And then when we went to the beach, I'm just like every 5 minutes checking to make sure that ring was there. And so it just naturally within me, I changed. No one had to tell me to do that. It was just this instinct within me because something valuable was with me. And so we go to Natural Bridges. We go out on this rock. It's this place where I first kissed her. And so we walk out on this rock, and I gave her this poem. I said, hey, read this. She starts reading it, but she's reading it quietly. I'm like, oh, no, you got to read it out loud. So she's reading that. The lifeguard's yelling at me, hey, get off that rock, you know. And I was like, hey, back off, man. And so finally I get down on my knee. I say, will you marry me? And then I pop up, and she's like, what? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how long is this wait, you know? And I'm like, will, you know, huh? She's like, no way. And then finally she said yes, and we're like, ah, you know. And then we had to go to a payphone to call everybody. But anyway, so something I was holding on to something valuable, and I changed because of what was valuable. We have Christ in us. Is more valuable than any ring, anything. Christ is in. Think of this. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus spoke, world, boom, world happened. Jesus spoke light, light happened. Gave us breath. That guy is in you. That's what you have. And so because he's in you, you're going to naturally start living differently. You're going to act differently. You're going to respond differently. You're going to behave differently because Christ is in you. Let me give you an example. It's found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, you have Peter and John. They're filled with the Spirit, and they're going out, and they're ministering, okay? And Jesus has already ascended into heaven. Look at what happens. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I took him, and they took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. What I want you to get is this verse in verse 6. I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. I don't have the right education. I don't have all this. I don't have the right standing. I've only been a Christian this long. I've only been this. I struggle with this. I don't have what it takes, but what I have, I give. I have Christ, and he's more than enough. He's all powerful. I can't offer you anything, but I can offer you Christ. And so you live without guilt, shame, or have to. You just, I got Christ. I could give that because he's at work within me. And I love what Mark, at the end of Mark, this verse, Mark 16:20, it says this, "And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord was working with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." Look at that verse. The Lord was working with them. The Lord was working with them. Here's what I want you to get. This week, you may have a meeting to go to. The Lord is working with you. You have a project that you have to do. The Lord is working with you. You have classes to go to. The Lord is with you. You have an appointment. The Lord is with you. Whatever you're doing this week, the Lord is with you. And the Bible says we could do all things through him who gives us strength. The Lord is with you. Christ is in you. So look at what Christ did. Look at what he's doing. And third, look forward to what Christ will accomplish through you. Here's what we tend to do. We tend to live in the what-if scenarios. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if I don't do well in school? What if my marriage doesn't work out? What if? What if? What if? And we can live in the fear of the future. We can live in the fear. We got a doctor's appointment this week. I'm anxious about it. I have to make rent this week. I don't know how to do it. And we live in the fear of the future. And here's what we know, because Scripture tells us. The devil is alive, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And we are in a spiritual battle all the time. And we feel these spiritual attacks from us, and we're like, I don't know how to overcome. This is the spiritual battle that I'm facing, this work relationship, my marriage, whatever. It's a spiritual battle within us, and sometimes we feel overwhelmed by it, and we just like, I don't know what to do. So I want to give you an illustration, the gospel illustration, according to Tupperware, okay? So, how many have ever heard the gospel by Tupperware? All right. You're learning something new in church today. So, all right. This is you, okay?
make a little. You're smiling because you're at church today. And you're going to get some barbecue later on. So this is you, okay? According to what we just been talking about, who lives inside you? Christ. It's not a trick question. No. Christ. Christ lives inside us. So Christ is in you, okay? Then, according to our theme verse for the year, which is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, right? So Christ is in you. Where are you as well? In Christ, right? So we'll put. So Christ in you, and you are in Christ. Okay? You following? All right. Colossians 2:3 says this. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Where at? Not a trick. It's right there. And what? In God, right? So, Christ in you, you in Christ, and you're in God. All right? This is your life. So when the devil comes in spiritual attacks, come against you. Who they got to come in contact with first? God. The devil doesn't have a very good track record coming against God. But just suppose he gets through God, then who's he going to face? Christ. And he already had an encounter with Christ. He thought he won, but the snake stomper stomped and he's defeated. Suppose he gets through Christ, he's got a second round with who? Christ, right? You're pretty secure, especially with spirit, especially with those things that are coming. When cancer comes, when health crises come, when financial things come, you are insecure because you are in Christ. Christ is in you, and you are in God. And not only that, Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by his same Spirit living within you. So you got the Holy Spirit in you as well. So what do you have to fear? You're secure. Yes, trials will come. Yes, difficulties will come our way. Struggles will come. But we can overcome because of where we stand. You follow? Amen? Man, as my dad used to say, that'll make an Episcopalian jump and shout for joy. And you guys are supposed to be a little bit charismatic. I don't know. Man, that's so awesome to think of where I am, what God's going to do. So no matter what I'm facing, no matter struggles that I'm facing, I know where I stand. Because I know what Christ did, I know what he is doing, and I know what he will do through me. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And I want to close our time praying for two things. And this is most important, so don't get distracted, okay? I know when I say when the worship team comes up, everybody looks. This is important. I know that there's people here this morning who don't know Jesus. You don't know, you may think you do, but you're not really living with him. He's not really in you. You're just going through the motions. And so this morning, I want to pray for you that you would come to this place and that you would say this prayer, Lord, I want you. I need you. I've been doing it all on my own. I surrender all. And I come under your lordship today. It's not about joining a church. It's walking in relationship with Jesus. So we're going to say a prayer, and just, if that's you, just say, yeah, I want to say yes to Jesus. I believe what you talked about earlier, that he took my sin upon the cross, defeated sin and death, rose again from the grave, that accounted for me. I believe that. I want to call upon that name. We just sang a song, you are worthy of it all. I want to make him worthy. He is. He's worthy of my life, and I give my life to him. We're going to pray that. And then second, we're going to pray, man, some of us are walking in religion and we're not walking in relationship. We're walking in, I got to do this. And we're feeling the pressure. We're feeling the guilt. We're feeling the shame. We're not walking in freedom. We're bound by the chain of religion. We're going to pray those chains to be broken, that we walk in the natural freedom of what it means to be in Christ. That he's changed me. Just let his light shine. Let his love shine. And let the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in you be evident in every single day of your life. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Lord, we come to you right now, and I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you. In fact, I'm gonna do this. If you would like to receive Christ into your heart, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. For those who raised their hand, would you just pray this in your own words with me? Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I believe what you did it for me. And so today, this day, right here, right now, I invite you into my life. I want to be made this new creation that the pastor's talking about. I want this new creation. I want the old gone. I want to become new in you. So I receive you by faith in my life. I call upon your name. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I pray for those of us here today who are just tired, trying to do it all on our own. Lord, I pray that you would break the chains of religion, and that we would walk in the freedom that my life is dead. I'm alive in Christ. No matter what may come, no matter the appointments, no matter the meetings, no matter the health, no matter the financial, I am with you. I trust in you. I will not fear. I will not be dismayed. My hope is in you and you alone. Give me that peace, strength, and love today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you?